be the guy behind me.
Did not work well for me. Well, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night family night here at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God in Cary, Ohio. We are so glad that you've all made it out tonight. We finally got some rain. Praise the Lord. I know there was some severe weather. Hopefully there was no major damage. We don't want to be praising the rain when it was destroying people's stuff. But the storms, I did hear some, you know, rough storms, but I haven't heard of any injuries or anything. I heard Marathon.
Yeah, well, tipsy on their thing.
Yeah, I saw that. But, you know, thank the Lord that nobody, haven't heard any injuries or anything, but we needed some rain. So that's a good thing that we got some rain. So you'll notice a few people missing tonight. This week is family camp down in Warsaw, Ohio. So our pastors are gone. And a few others, I think, are down there spending the week or part of the week together at family camp. So we hope that that's going well and that people are being blessed and the Lord's moving and people are receiving what they need to receive, and maybe that's just a little rest and relaxation. You know, this is an opportunity. I don't know if you know, but when they go to family camp, the pastors of the church in our district don't preach. Our bishop doesn't preach. They have guest preachers come in. So Pastor Joe and Alicia are able to sit down there and just enjoy some time in the Lord. Amen. And listen to other pastors or preachers or evangelists, whatever they have, pouring into them. So that's good for them. And we're glad they're able to go do that. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. Amen. We got people back there teaching kids. We have Bible study teachers. We have people at the media desk and the welcome. We got people that can take care of stuff so our pastors can go and do that with their family. So we're blessed in that regard. If you're online tonight, we encourage you to comment, ask questions. We're going to be into kind of an interesting subject. It's kind of based on what Pastor Joe preached on Sunday, but we're going to go maybe a little different direction on some of it, and more of almost a, we're almost going to talk about what happened before he was able to preach that message, if that makes sense, because our digging deeper Bible studies are kind of taking what he preached and just digging into it a little bit, and that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, we're going to talk about what happened at the Passover and why Joe was able to preach the message that he preached on Sunday, if that makes sense. Because it's a little different, kind of a little different than what we've been doing, but very similar. So our title for Joe on Sunday was, or his title was, Preparation. Does everybody remember that? For a season, yeah, or a new season, huh? So before we get into the Bible study, I think we should probably open up with prayer. So let's do that real quick. Lord, we thank you for this time you've allowed and set apart for us to come together as a body, Lord, and reason in your word and just learn and have greater revelation of who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. And we just thank you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So going back on that title of preparation for a season or preparation for a new season or just preparation, does anybody have anything from Sunday that leaped out at them, that they wrote down, that they haven't been able to shake? They've been thinking about it all week because of it's just such a good word for you personally. Or something that maybe confused you or something you didn't understand. Anybody got willing to share something with us? Sister Sally, come on up.
I think that message that Joe preached was the best message he's ever gave.
Amen.
Because... and he did such a great job.
Yeah.
Because that's, really, he was telling us what the whole Bible was about.
Mm.
And like preparation, you prepare for, we go, just like the Bible says, a jot by jot, tittle by tittle. We go a little bit, and the whole Bible is that way. And I don't understand when people say, I don't read the Old Testament, it's because I don't understand, I don't like it. Well, you know, you got to read it to know even what he's saying in the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's very important, and Joe did such a great job of explaining it, because it's all about the cross.
Amen.
And you know, society doesn't like that cross. Mm. They like just the cross. Oh, that's beautiful and pretty, and you've decorated all over here the cross, and it's so pretty. Everything's nice. But they don't want to know the real meaning behind that cross, because it is beautiful, but it's also sorrow and suffering and terrible. And that's what we're supposed to do when we, as we read the Bible and as we go through life, even now. People say, well, that was back then. No, that even is now, and it'll be in the future until the Lord comes back. But, you know, you got to remember the horrible stuff in order to be truly accept Christ into your heart and be sorry, repentance. You're not repenting if you don't really think, well, it was just died on the cross and he's God, he could take it, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep the beautiful part where all the blessings I get and the freedom. But no, we can't do that. We got to remember how horrible it is. And then the Holy Spirit starts working.
Yeah.
And he really works when we understand the cross. And Joe did a great job in that. It just brought it all back right to me. But I think about it all the time. I can't repent without thinking of the cross.
Amen.
Because God's always there. And I just, his whole message was wonderful to me.
Amen.
It was really great.
Yes.
And I like that, because when you talk about the cross, people don't want to hear that horrible stuff.
Right.
And they just refuse. They shut you right off. Oh, I don't want to hear that. You know, that was long ago. That's not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that is. It's present right here today. Yeah. All that is here.
And yeah. Amen.
That was a good.
Yeah, and Sister Sally's hitting the nail on the head there, and I think she's right that in the respect that if you can avoid certain parts of Scripture, it makes it easier to live the way you want to.
Yes.
Doesn't it, Sally?
Yep.
And what Sally said there is so profound, because there's a lot of, and I'll just say it, there's a lot of Christians out there that probably aren't living right, but they're professing Christians, and it's due to their own choices of choosing maybe not to dig deeper. But when you don't realize, And this is a worldly way of looking things, and this is why the world should understand it. In the world, what do we value more, something that has no cost or something that costs a lot? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if it was just free and didn't have to cost anything, we would call that free, and it'd be like, that's all right, here, you can have mine. I can get another one. They're free, right? But there was a high cost. There was the ultimate price was paid for our redemption and our salvation through the blood of Jesus. And that's a hard, cold fact that you have to accept in your heart. Amen? Because if you're not willing to accept that there was a cost paid for you, you'll minimize what you're worth too. Come on. If there wasn't anything paid for you, then that makes you worth No, somebody gave their only one and begotten son for you so that you should live and not die. So you shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And that's because you were worth it. Amen? So that's a really good word, Sally. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure Pastor Joe's going to appreciate knowing that the one thing that stuck out to you was his entire message. That's a good word. And I appreciate it, and I know Joe does too, because that means you're listening. Amen, and it's resonating with you. Anybody else? That's a tough act to follow, because that summed a lot of Joe's message up right there. But there's little things that we can think of. I'll give you mine. And I just, sometimes I pick up on the little practical stuff that Joe says or whoever's preaching says. But I wrote down that we're being prepared for another season, not because it's different than your normal season, but because we need a new season. So he was kind of alluding to the fact that it's not just helping you get used to some change. And I don't know how Joe said it, but he's not just getting you used to some change. He's getting used to being something new, preparing you for a completely new season of your life. And that will look different for all of us. So, but it's the same concept for all of us. The blood of Christ should make something brand new in you. And what should be new about you is everything. It should all be new. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ and declare Him as your Lord and Savior and receive His Holy Spirit, and you start becoming, and we're going to get into this later, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the sanctification process starts, and you're new. You know, Pastor Joe said that deliverance happens immediately, right in that moment. Then the process starts. And that's where you're new, but you need sanctified, you need refined, you need a process that we go through. So that was kind of what stuck out to me. And that was the note that I wrote. Maybe I was cheating because I knew you only had to have one to qualify, so I just wrote one down. But it was a great word, wasn't it? Amen. How about anybody else? Brother Jesse. Sister Sandy. Come on, we got three microphones. Abby was raising her hand.
We probably need to all come.
Yeah, come on. We got three microphones. Brother, I saw Brother Diltz flinch back here. I think he was getting ready to jump up.
We'll all talk at the same time and see if we can get it.
There we go. Chaos is what we need, right?
Well, I had 14 points written down, and all of that stuff means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Over the years, we have seen evolution in the church world. Mm-hmm. Even the Pentecostals. You know, we don't want to admit that sometimes, but it's true. Many times we embrace stuff into the church that should have never been there. And I don't say that to be mean, but you know what I'm talking about. You start accepting things that really aren't scriptural and they're just opinions. First thing you know, you've got something that you can't even recognize it as what's in the Word. So I'm going to say that to say this. At the very end, he said something about you're getting tired of the same old meal. And I thought about that a lot, about as it was talking about church. And you think, I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, I don't come for praise and worship because that really gets into some areas sometimes where I don't want to do that, but I just want to hear the sermon. Well, you're missing out a lot when you don't come for praise and worship, because that's what brings you into the message and prepares your heart. If you haven't prepared yourself before, you need to get prepared to hear the Word of God. And this preparedness stuff all goes into that. You can't be sanctified if you haven't been prepared to be sanctified.
Yeah.
And that's a terminology that a lot of people don't want to get into anymore, because that's pretty serious stuff. Mm. Oh, what does that mean to be sanctified? And you go into the scripture and look at the vessels in the temple. Les and I were discussing this week in our private time of devotion, that a lot of times people don't realize what it means to misuse God's vessels. Mm. What is that talking about? When Belshazzar decided he was going to call for the vessels that had been consecrated to God to come for his drunken orgy. Mm. I mean, they were having a fun time until the finger of God appeared
on the wall.
And he didn't know what that was, scared him to death. And yeah. I was asking Les, I said, what do you think would happen if we had a blank canvas out here today and all of a sudden the finger of God started writing? What would that do? What do you think that would do to you? What do you think that would do to any of us if we saw the hand of God start writing on the wall?
Yeah.
Well, we would know what it was, but he didn't have a clue. Mm-hmm. What if the world saw the handwriting of God, which they see all the time, but they don't recognize it?
Yeah.
Do we recognize it? That was what stuck with me. Do we recognize what it is to have the meal that God wants us to have?
Amen. That's a good word. Thank you, sister. Brother Jesse, Abby, whoever wanted else to... Come on up, whoever. Yeah, Jesse's still writing, it looks like. Come on up, Abby.
I'll just kind of piggyback off of what you were saying. This is because it goes hand in hand in what I wrote down. So he was saying that the wilderness is a time of testing.
Mm.
But before we go into the wilderness, Jesus prepares us.
Yeah.
In different seasons, we need another baptism, a fresh application for every season.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that we need to be led to a dead end or a Red Sea. That's something inside of us that needs to die.
Amen.
So maybe at some point you can explain the Red Sea, what was meant by that.
Okay.
And I know he was talking about it came to, you know, they were all led into that Dead Sea where they thought there was no way out.
Yeah. So what he kind of alluded to Sunday, and Pastor Darius is here and he can help if I miss anything, but the new washing, and he talked about the blood on the doorposts. And then he said, God led them not the shortest path to where they were heading, but he took them to a dead end, which was the Red Sea, to where they had to put their faith in God. And then he referenced that referenced it as a baptism, as a washing. After the blood came the water. And I think that was kind of how Pastor Joe, and that was when he said we need a washing for every season. And I'll tell you, if you didn't go to the baptism after service Sunday, we had, I don't know how many people out there. 14. Does anybody know?
14.
14 baptisms, but how many people? 50? The whole riverbank was filled. It was really incredible. But we had a couple people that said that, Abby. When they testified, they said, I listened to the message this morning and I just feel like I need a new washing. I just need to be washed again. And, you know, it's a sign of being cleansed of our filth and our sin. So that was what he was talking about with the Red Sea, is the water part of the baptism, part of our faith and our public declaration as it comes into the New Testament and we testify publicly that we're followers of Christ. Darius, do you want to add anything to that? The correlation between baptism and the Red Sea, is there anything else you'd like to throw in there?
The only thing I could say is that God allowed his people to be between two mountains and then the Red Sea for them to see the power of God being displayed. Yeah. And even Moses himself was doubtful or concerned, like, God, what am I going to do? And even God says, why are you praying? So that's a good question. Like, so stretch your hand and then you'll see what I'll do. Yep. And the other thing is that God said the enemies that you'll see, you won't see them anymore.
Not after today. So.
Right. So when he talks about God, about that, is that was the first experience that the Israelites had outside of Egypt, as a demonstration that God was serious in what he was saying. Hmm. And it was a step to get into a new covenant with God, into a new season with God.
Do you see it relating to the baptism and the washing because it's water?
I personally don't.
Okay. Some people believe that.
Yeah, I would say the emphasis of that experience was more on the demonstration of God's power. There is no allusion in the New Testament, that's why I say I personally don't, that the Red Sea meant baptism. At least I cannot remember of that. There is allusions of the Red Sea and the people of God under the cloud and all that. But definitely, if you want to really put a comparison to that, you just have to find out the meaning of baptism for us today as the church, which I think in that term is related, because of, not because of the water, but because of the experience of newness and the demonstration of God's change and the power of God upon his people.
That's what's on the other side of the water.
Right. That's so like when you get out of the water, you get out of the water symbolically, you're getting up to a new life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the correlation that I think Pastor Joe was trying to make, going through that and coming out on the other side a new creation, so, which is kind of how we correlate with baptism, you know. Anybody else? Brother Jesse, are you ready? Did that answer your question good enough, Abby? Does that feel okay with that? Okay. And listen, if Pastor Joe's not here tonight, so if there's something like that, if you don't feel like you got a good enough to where you feel really good about it, ask Pastor Joe next time you see him, okay? For sure, because I don't want to sell you short on your question, and I don't want to speak improperly for him either. So go ahead, brother.
So one of the things that stuck out to me and has been sticking out to me is process. And as Christians, we walk through a process, right? Sanctification. Preparation is part of the process. That's one thing that I got from this message on Sunday. And one thing that really encouraged me is that this is part of our journey as Christians. So this process or this preparation isn't quite like a destiny. Like when we get there, we've arrived.
Right.
It's a journey.
Amen.
And so it's not, it was encouraging for me because I didn't feel like I had to arrive at this certain point. But it's part of my journey. It's part of the preparation, which is in the process that God has for my life. So I said that to say this. The other thing that pastor said that really I just didn't like, but I mean, he said it, yep. You know, if are your toes getting sore? Because yep. Mine are. They talked about enlarging our capacity. That's what God's doing in our hearts, is he's like enlarging our capacity, not in the physical sense, but he's enlarging our, the capacity of our hearts to love people in a way that we never have before.
Amen.
And enlarging our capacity so that we can carry things maybe that we haven't carried before. And in that moment, I said, God, my capacity is big enough. I'm tired of being stretched. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm at this point, God, to where I don't want to deal with this anymore. Whatever I'm in right now, I want out of. I've had enough. And then Monday morning, my devotional was about enlarging your capacity. And so it was just interesting to me. So that's why I wanted to share that, because when God says something twice to me, it's like, hey, you better pay attention, because I'm doing something in you. Because if you step out of what God's doing, guess what? You're going to come back around the mountain.
Yeah. Amen.
You're going to come back around the mountain. So I said that, I guess, because it stuck out to me, but I also want to encourage you, if you're in a point to where you've been in the process and you feel like maybe your process is a meat grinder, you're like, God, what is going on? You just have to trust the process. Trust that God knows what he's doing. We put our lives in his hands and we just follow after him.
Amen. Yeah, that's another really good word. You know, the only comment I would make on what Brother Jesse said there is, I want to kind of repeat maybe part of what he said so you hear it really good and add just a smidge to it that I think he alluded to. But we're all in our process. Amen? Amen. Is that right, Brother Jesse? And that's a good word right there. Yes. None of us have made it. You know, the Apostle Paul says, I don't say these things to you as though I've already achieved them, because he was still in his process. And then real quick before Pastor Darius, respect each other's process. My process is in a different spot than Jesse's. Les is in a different spot than Jerry or Brother Diltz or Sally. You know, we're all in a different spot in our process, but we're all running the same race. Amen. So that's a great word. Thank you. Such good words tonight, Pastor Jerry.
Just a quick reference to maybe to what Pastor was referring Sunday about baptism.
And, okay, good. Thank you.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, that says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses.
Yeah.
In the cloud and in the sea. Maybe that's the reference.
Amen. About. And that was one of his scriptures Sunday, for sure. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah. Let me add to that. You know, he's...
You already said the entire message. You got another one now.
I'm sorry.
Come on, sister.
Hey, I'm telling you.
No, I'm just teasing you. Bless us. Come on.
Okay.
You can't hear? Well, we'll get her down here.
To me, you know, I'm not from a church person, so I don't know all the right words and stuff. I always use weird things. But I talk like the sinners do, because that's where I come from. That's who I'm around all the time. And I don't try to change my talk, because I want them to hear me and I understand. And that's the trouble. We got to understand the Bible. And what Joe was talking about, he said that we had to prepare for the different seasons. I call them, you know, okay, you learn that step, now you got to go on and learn more. And instead of saying I'm ready for the next season, or say I'm ready for prep, to prepare. Now I got to go into the wilderness. But as he spoke, I seen myself in each step of the way. I could see myself when I first got saved. I was 18. I just turned 18. And that, I never heard anything about God, so that was my first step. And then I, from there, I felt I was justified, and I knew that, and I was saved. But then I didn't know nothing, so I had to go into the wilderness, prepare for the next seasons. And I seen each step I went through. And I'm still waiting for the next season.
Amen.
Because I know there's still more for me to learn. And it's hard to get it. Because what I know, I tried to explain it. And like I say, I got to talk to the sinners, because you people all don't understand what I'm saying. Mm. Sinners, that gets them curious, where they'll come and ask somebody else and maybe come to church and learn. Yeah. And they all, lots of them come back and say, what did you mean? Or what, I'm doing this, what, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. That's how the unbelievers do. Yeah. We go season by season. But when Pastor Joe preached, I seen each one of those steps. Yeah. I call them steps, but you guys call them seasons.
That's okay. Steps, seasons. The only thing I'm going to correct you on is I don't believe you're waiting on your next season. I believe you're preparing for it.
Amen.
It's easy. We say that, though, don't we? We always say, like, well, I'm waiting on that next thing. But you're not. And I don't believe you are.
I'm not.
You're preparing for it. And I believe that God's got something in your next season for you that he's preparing you for. And I believe that we should all be preparing for that next season and let God prepare us for that next season, because seasons change whether we want them to or not. You know, your season could change tonight. Let's just be real. I don't want to give examples, because some of them might not be pleasant. But those things like that come, and they come just like that. All of a sudden, your whole world's flipped upside down, turned around somewhere good. And that could be a good thing. You might hit the lottery tonight. Boom. Your whole life changed. You know, or something, something's given to you, or your, you know, your car doesn't start. That could change your season. Just anything. So we always have to be prepared. And I think that was a good word for being prepared. Brother Jim, go ahead.
I just had a thought of the everybody, the something that stuck out to me in your own process. You know, the Olympics are on and all that kind of stuff. There's a lady, Katie Ledecky, that swims the 1500 meter. And she bypassed everybody. Like, she was the only one in the screen when she finished. Hmm. The rest of those people in that, I mean, they're at the Olympics.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're the best. They went through all of the stuff to get there and everything else. And they, and you know, the way she finished, it looked, made everybody else look like they were slowpokes. Hmm. But they are the best in the world also. So, you know, that you can see somebody in their process going way above and beyond where those somebody else is. And you can see that as what are you doing? But you're still in that process. You're still in that. You're still saved, and you're still working toward that sanctification. So, you know, that stuck out to me.
Yeah, good word. Amen. Yeah, because they probably all worked. And the first person that was that far behind her was the second best in the world. Think about that. Amen. That's a good word. And you know, it's fun to compare some of these things to real life stuff that we deal with here on earth. And that's what Jesus did. When you read his parables and the stories he tells in the New Testament, he related them right to the Jewish people and what they went through and the things, their customs and the things that they did that day. Because it helps you get a picture of what we're talking about sometimes. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. If there's anybody else that has a comment on Sunday's sermon. Anybody else? So the message that we wanted to dig deeper in tonight, or the subject, was Exodus 12. Does anybody know what is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 12? Yeah? Anybody just shout it out. What's in the chapter 12?
Passover.
The Passover. And Pastor Joe had made a note on his lesson plan here that he said, sometimes we overlook and assume that the Passover is just some Jewish festival or ritual. And his heart for tonight was that we understand what the Passover represents for Christians today. And that's what he wanted us to dig deeper into. Not everything about his sermon, but the Passover is where he wanted us to go tonight. So we started with some things that stuck out. And listen, I say it's a testament to this body if we spend the first 30 minutes of Bible study talking about things that stuck out from our message on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. That is worth every second. And if that's all we do when we come out here on a Wednesday night, it's worth every minute. So thank you for that, because we're halfway done. And this isn't about me coming up here and preaching or teaching or talking about a message that I want to talk about. This is about talking about what we got out of the Word of God that was brought forth Sunday morning. And if people are grabbing a hold of that and writing it down and bringing it back here Wednesday nights to bless each other with it, because how many of you noticed? I heard a couple of you say, well, I'm going to piggytail off that. You didn't. You had a different word. It might have lined up, but it wasn't something exactly. Everybody had their own little thing that they picked up from that, and that is a blessing of God. And what that tells me is that you're being met right where you're at, that God knows you, and that God's given you revelation on a word that applies to you. Even if you don't understand every word of it, that's okay, because there's ways and avenues to figure out what, but it applies to all of us differently. So that is so good and such a blessing. So the preparation part of the Passover, and this is something that I had never thought about, kind of going back to what Sally said, and I've tattled on myself on this before. There's parts of the Bible I just go like, what is all that in here for? I don't need all that. I don't need all that. I don't need all that. And chapter 12's got quite a bit of that in it if you read it. You know, you could summarize chapter 12, most likely, at least I feel like I could, by just, you know, God was tired of messing around with the Pharaoh. He had 9 plagues that didn't work. So he told his Israelites, or Aaron and Moses, he said, okay, guys, this is it. Here's the last one. This is a big one. I'm going to put an end to all this nonsense. Get your stuff ready, because you're not going with them. You're coming with me, right? And we're heading that way to the promised land that I promised you. So get ready. And in my Bible, it's like 4 pages, because they're very specific directions from God. Every detail. And what I love about this story, now that I've really kind of dug into it a little bit, is I didn't understand how many else people in here thought, you'll talk about talking funny. I just said, how many else people? How many other people in here find it not, it doesn't make you curious at all why God said, make sure you have your pants and your belt and your jacket and your walking stick when you eat it, when he was talking about the Passover sacrifice. And I might be adding clothing articles there, but basically God said, be dressed and ready with your stick in your hand. When you eat this, you will be ready to go. And I've always wondered, why? And it never really made any sense to me. Why? I mean, if we're going to have blood over the doorposts, if God's going to pass over, the angel of death's not going to enter, why would there be such a big old hurry? Why can't I eat and then go get dressed in my mark? Because these people would have had traveling clothes, right? They wouldn't have been their normal lay-around clothes. They'd have had traveling outfits, is what I understand. So what did that, is there any significance that to anybody? Does anybody understand or think there's a significance to having your traveling outfits and your walking stick on while you eat the sacrifice?
Because they didn't know when it was going to happen.
They didn't know when.
Deliverance was coming.
It was coming. They knew what day it was going to be, which we don't know. But they did. I believe that, and there again, people fact check me because I'm not trying to read the whole chapter here because we're not going to have enough time. But I believe when God told Aaron and Moses, I believe he said, today is the beginning of your new year or new month, however he said it. And it was on the 10th day. And he said he was coming on, I think, the 14th day, right? So I think they had like 4 days to get ready. And God had given them all these instructions. So that's one possible thought. Anybody else have a thought on why God would have directed them? Because it's very specific. And here's the other thing. I'll give you a little hint. God doesn't give us very specific things to do just for the fun of it. There's a reason that God said, does anybody have that scripture? Because I didn't write it down. I just got notes here. Where God told them, here is how you must eat it. You must be dressed for travel, your sandals on your feet, on your staff, in your hand. You are to eat it in a hurry. How many times is anybody in here, if you're a mom and you've said it, or if you're a little boy like me and you heard it, is slow down and chew your food. And here we got God saying, I want you to eat this meal as fast as you can. Don't you mess around. Get your traveling clothes on and then eat as fast as you can. Why would God say that? Anybody got an idea? Other than Sister Sandy thinks that maybe it's because you're not going to know when I'm coming, so you better be ready. That's true.
Because they.
What else does it signify to God if they do this? He's taken them somewhere, so they need their traveling clothes. But why do they have to have them on now? Why do they have to have them on when they eat it?
Because I'm going to give you something, but it's up here. You got to hurry. Get up there.
Got to hurry, all right.
He was trying to, because everything's about Jesus.
Amen. Making sure they're prepared. It's an act of the Israelites or the Jews. What are they showing God if they get on their traveling clothes and have a sacrifice and eat it in a hurry?
That's obedience, and they're not.
It's obedience. They believe him, don't they? They're trusting God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And they're not going to know exactly when it's going to happen. So he said, if you believe me, get your traveling clothes on. Because this is what I'm going to do for you. And the only way you're going to see it is if you do everything I tell you. And if you don't do everything I tell you, it's not going to work out for you. You're going to miss it, right? So I think that's a couple things there, and I'm not disagreeing with the fact that they had to be ready when it happened because they didn't know when it was going to happen, but I believe it was a sign that they believed God was going to do what he was going to do, because listen, he was getting them out of bondage to take them to the promised land, which was a promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew that. They would have known that. There was a promised land. And then these guys were stuck in slavery for 400 years. And God said, it's time to get you out. It's time to fulfill what I told you I was going to do for you. So this would just be another act, in my opinion, that they would be trusting God that he does what he says he's going to do. Sister Sandy, you got something?
Each year from generation to generation,
You must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. And then, you know, if you're going down. So that's what he's telling us today. You have to be ready.
Be prepared. Amen.
Ready for what?
Amen. For when Jesus is coming back. Yeah.
And who's he taking?
Well, I'm hoping me. I'm not speaking for anybody else here. I don't want to get in trouble from the microphone. But the church. Yeah, you're going to, huh?
The bride of Christ.
Yeah, the bride of Christ is church.
Well, if you're not in it, if you haven't gotten prepared, you're not going to be
there. You're not going to be there. You got to be prepared. So I just believe, and that was just a revelation that I felt when I was studying this out, that they had to believe God. And that was so much a problem with the Jews. They believed for a minute till life got good. And then they're like, eh, right? And then they'd get themselves in a pickle, and then God would have to come back and intervene again. So I think that was that's what I got out of it. And like I said, everybody's going to have their own revelations on these things. But I think that's a couple good thoughts on the preparation part. Now
the urgency of the moment.
The urgency of the moment, yeah. And that's in the New Testament where he says if you're a nursing mother or, you know, whatever, don't go back. If you're looking back at your house, like, you got to go, right? It's time. And I don't want to misquote that whole scripture, but I already started misquoting it. But you know what I'm talking, it is, that's biblical, that it's urgent. And when it happens, there won't be time to change. You know, when it happens like that. So that's the first thing, the first part of it on the preparation part of it. And the Bible tells us, and just to kind of summarize this for the sake of time, because it's already 7:45. The Bible says that they did exactly what God told them. And that's a lesson for today. Kind of going back to me saying, and what Sally started our lesson out tonight with, where we kind of skip over scriptures. How many guys in here, ladies, you keep your hands down because I know better than this, and I know you would never do this, but men, how many men in here have ever gotten a new end table that came in a flat box? And when you open the box up, it's got a whole plastic bag with 64 number 2 wood screws and a piece of paper. What do you call them, Maggie?
Instructions.
So what do you use those for?
To read.
Oh, read. Oh. See, I always lay those on my floor because it's white and the screws will lay on and you can see the screws. No, I'm just kidding. But you see where I'm going. If you don't read the instructions, it's going to be real hard to put it together. Amen? So I think that's another good word that comes out of the Passover, that the Jews did exactly what God commanded them. So what does that mean? As the sister said, they were prepared. Now, what did God tell them to do with the blood? The blood from the sacrifice. Put it on their door frame. And the Bible says that would, come on up, brother. And the Bible says that would protect them from the death angel. The death angel will not come in. The death angel will fly over. But most importantly, the death angel will recognize. It's not an accident that the death angel's passing over you. He's going to recognize through that blood, covered by that blood, behind that blood, protected by that blood, are my people. Leave them alone. You have no right to them. They're mine. And that's the significance of the blood. Now, we know what the blood does in the New Testament. So this is where Pastor Joe wanted us to make sure we're not looking at it as just a Jewish ritual or Jewish festival. This all points to Jesus. Amen. It all points to the sacrifice that they made, that Jesus made, the blood that they used, the blood that Jesus shed, and where God's people fall in line with that blood, and that is covered in it, protected by it, and given eternal life through it, because it was saved them. Amen? So that is a very distinct correlation with the Passover. So if you get nothing out of it tonight, remember that. And the Jewish people, and I'm not going to bash any religions around, I'm not going there, but what Sister Sandy was saying is, you know, what it says in the Bible about, you know, do this forever and ever, and amen. They never got past the Passover meal. They never got past the leaving Egypt. It's no longer about the physical country of Egypt. That's how God used it to represent Jesus coming and saving us and removing the bondage in our lives through his blood and sanctifying us through his blood. They've never got to that. And once you get to that, if you want to celebrate the Passover and have eat unleavened bread and beef, good. But if you want to recognize what we recognize today is the body and the blood of Christ is what we recognize today. And we do that, what does Jesus say? In memory of him, of the sacrifice he made for us. So in a spirit of time, do you think it was an accident that Jesus rode into Jerusalem during Passover? Brother Dilf says no accident. You guys don't think Jesus could have accidentally just been in the area that week? So what was he showing up during Passover for? Because this is a direct correlation. This is where Scripture proves Scripture on why this Passover festival is not just a ritual festival for the Jewish people today, but it's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. He showed up at Passover. Why? He was the one. He wanted replacing. He was going to be the sacrifice. That's what he was here for. So what other time would he have showed up in order to replace the one-year-old lamb during Passover? A one-year-old lamb is mature. Jesus was mature. The lamb was without spot or blemish. Jesus was without spot or blemish. The preparation, the examination that we're supposed to do before we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ during communion, you're supposed to examine yourself. There was a four-day period from when God told them to do this stuff before it actually was done to make sure they had an unblemished lamb, to make sure they were ready to examine and prepare themselves for what was coming.
And then they set that apart so it couldn't go back in with the...
So we're going to have to get the microphone on you, because I let you tell a whole story earlier and nobody got to hear it but us. Your words, we appreciate what you're saying, so speak it right in there.
It was that... the sacrificial lamb was given for our sin, and it prepared us. We're not going to be able to get out of that today if that's what we're trying to do. If we don't want to participate in the Holy Communion, then we're not really remembering what happened, if it bothers us that much. If we're not examining ourselves and getting ourselves ready to take it, that's on us.
Amen.
As long as it's being offered, we have the right to take it.
Right.
Only if we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart. Mm-hmm. If we got something going on that we shouldn't have there, we shouldn't participate in that.
That's what the Bible says.
Because the Bible says, why not? Because you're drinking and eating yourself into condemnation. Yeah. What kind of condemnation? From God, not from other people. From God. We're not supposed to judge each other as to whether or not somebody's ready for communion.
That's right.
Only God can do that. Only God can tell us you're ready. And if you are, you would be very much in humility to know that you can receive that.
Yeah. Be prepared. You know, there was a problem in the church at Corinth, wasn't there? If you read that out, what was one of the things Paul had to deal with? People were just eating. They were just showing up and eating. He said, no. We're not here to eat and drink. If you're hungry or thirsty, you do that at home. This is different. This is the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. You know, some churches will tell you you can't take it if you're not a member of their church. The Bible tells us to examine yourself and take it in reverence. And if you're not going to remember the body and blood of Jesus Christ when you take Holy Communion, you're just eating and drinking. You ain't going to hell for eating and drinking, but that little wafer and that little drink ain't going to help you any either. You're just eating a cracker and drinking some grape juice. You look like a good Christian, right? I'm just being real with you. How many people, don't raise your hands, how many people would be willing to walk up here on a Sunday morning when we're handing it out or whoever's handing it out or they have it sitting here? How many of you are willing to walk up here before you eat it or stay in your seat? Because I got something against my brother. That's what the Bible says. If you have something against your brother or sister. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, if you ate at one time and you were had something against, if I was mad at Randy and went up and got one anyway, I'm not going to go to hell. I don't get to decide that. I don't get to decide where you're going or why you're going there. But I would offer this. Examine yourself. If there's something there, get it out of you. And then I'm going to go ahead and be maybe anti-religious here for a second. If it takes you till you get home to get it out of you, get yourself a cracker out of the cupboard. Have yourself some communion. Do it the right way. Because if you pretend like you're doing it the right way, why bother doing it the right way? Especially if people are buying it, right? So I'm just being real with you. You ain't impressing anybody. It's not what we're doing it for. You know? We're not back here. Sister Karen's not keeping attendance on who comes up and gets a cracker because we know they must be good with God. We don't play that game in the church. We don't need games in the church. It's a solemn, reverent moment. You know, the sister almost teared up talking about it. That's what it's about. Is you're grateful. That you're thankful. As you remember what he did for us in that moment. Amen. And that's what they did right before he was crucified. You know, he said, I'm going to enjoy this Passover meal with you. He said, I'm going to be the Passover after this. They didn't like that, but he did. So I already jumped way ahead because he had this enlisted. He had applications and sanctification, and he had action steps, which was following exactly what God told him to do, and we already did that. So it's almost 8 o'clock, but I want to get the last couple points here. And here again, these are yours to take with you. So it doesn't matter. We get to do them these last couple parts. I don't think these last couple parts are necessarily need to be openly discussed anyway, to be honest with you. But I encourage you to read them. And the personal application. Sally said she's preparing for her next season, anticipating what God's got in store for her next. So that question is, what is God preparing you for? What are you set apart to do? And what steps are you currently taking to follow God's plan? Now, that again is going to look different for each one of us. There are things in this body at the Lighthouse, PCG, and Cary that we're designed and called to do together. I believe that. I also believe that there are things that God is calling and preparing each individual in this room and everybody in this church and everybody on earth, if they would listen probably, to do. You. Not you and your neighbor. It might not even be you and your spouse. Sometimes it will be. Maybe for some of you it could be all the time it will be. Maybe God speaks to you both. But you got to hear it for you. God will confirm if it's for both of you. God will confirm if he thinks you need to go rouse some people around to go do something. He'll help you with that. But think about these. Ponder these questions. What is God preparing you for? What are you set apart to do? And what steps are you taking right now? You kind of got to know the answer to the first two before you can answer the third one, don't you? So take that home with you for sure. Well, you guys are starting. What is going on around here? They're all getting tired. I just got to hand the microphone out. We can't be letting people stand down. We can't hear you on the TV. The mic or his, internet.
His way, okay. So that's individual. He talks, he has his way for each of us. But we cannot, and I've said it. What's my way? What do you want me to do? What's my way? But and he will answer. But you have to. The only ones that I'll hear it is those with the spiritual mind. Otherwise, if our mind isn't spiritual, we're not on the right track. We'll just keep saying, well, I don't know what it is. You need that spiritual mind to understand and to hear God's way when he tells you.
Yeah, to understand it for sure, huh?
Yes.
Understand. Yeah. Yeah, amen. That's a good word. And you know, if we're asking God, I'm going to plug this thing in again. Hopefully I don't have to undo it again. It's hard to get in there. So just to clarify, and if I'm misinterpreting what you're saying, you correct me. That doesn't mean everything's perfect in your world today. When Sally said you have to have a spiritual mind, because when things aren't going perfectly right, that doesn't mean you're not spiritual anymore. That doesn't mean you're not a good Christian anymore. That doesn't mean you're not a follower of Jesus anymore. That just means you're going through something. God will still speak to you, especially if you're asking, as Sally said, when I say, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? I'm ready. Right? So that's a good word. Huh?
If you're going to ask him a question, you better be ready to listen.
Brother Dilt says, if you're going to ask God a question, you better be ready to listen. Amen. You know what I tell my guys at work all the time? Don't ask a question you don't want the answer to. So if you don't want an answer, don't ask, right? So Brother Dilt's right on there. If you're going to ask, you better be ready to listen and better be ready to receive that answer. And that's a question from the heart. I mean, it really is. Like, you know, I think Pastor Joe said one time up here, he said, you know, everybody, use me, Lord, use me. Until he tries to use you. Then you're like, wait a minute, that isn't what I meant. Right? So you better be ready. Amen? And sometimes it isn't what you expect. And then the community application, the question is, what is God speaking specifically to this church? And what steps are we taking to follow what God is saying to us? What is he preparing us for? And he said, consider the prophecies that have recently been spoken over this church. Well, I think the easy answer for what is God preparing this church for, and I think we heard it once tonight, we heard it Sunday morning, and that's expanding our tents. But building a faith community has been the title here all year. So I do believe that's one thing God's preparing us for. And I don't remember, I don't want to try to remember the prophetics that they spoke out on the paper. I don't have them here printed. But, you know, some of those weren't that comfortable, were they? A couple of the words that we got in prophecy about putting labels on people, things that we're not really supposed to be doing. You know, so those are all words that we need to grab a hold of, the easy ones and the hard ones. Amen? Does anybody else have anything else before we dismiss? I really appreciate all the conversation tonight, because I'll be honest with you, you can, like I said, you can kind of sum up some of that really quick and easy. And when you're up here talking, it's hard to stretch something out and make it last longer. And when you guys get up and talk and just speak your hearts, that's what we're here for. So I genuinely appreciate you doing that. And that's how we grow as a church. And don't be scared of that microphone either. I'm being funny with you right now, but for real. If you got something, jump right up and grab that microphone every Wednesday. Amen? Anybody else before we close? All right, let's dismiss in prayer. Oh, Abby, go ahead.
Can you keep my mom in prayer?
Yes.
She took a fall and ended up in the emergency room, and they're keeping her, and now she's got to go back to the nursing home for rehabilitation. She broke her shoulder.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay, so what, are they going to have surgery or anything?
Surgery, but it is broken.
So she'll have to?
Yep.
Okay. So that's hard. Yeah, that's hard on the family and on Pauline herself, and we understand that. And so we're going to pray for her.
Thank you.
Anybody else need prayer before we go? Did you have anything online, Jimmy? Nothing? Okay.
Can you pray for Brian, too?
Brian, okay. Maggie?
My sister-in-law, Joan, is having some surgery on her back.
Joan? We need to pray for the Pentecostal Church of God. Because I do believe that a church needs to be covered in prayer. And then the people in the church need to be covered in prayer. The leaders of the church. You know, and the Pentecostal Church of God is bigger than the Lighthouse. You know, if you don't know a whole lot, it's a huge organization. So I believe we need to be praying for the whole Pentecostal Church of God, for divine revelation in Jesus and every aspect of what they do. Our motto of be more like Jesus in everything we say, do, and think, or think, say, and do. So I think we'll add that. Anybody else have anything they want to pray?
We need to pray for our nation.
Our nation.
Israel.
Anybody else? Okay, if you'd bow your heads with me. Lord, we come to you right now to lift up our prayers to you, Lord, in an act of faith. Lord, because we know that you can, and we know that you will. So, Lord, we just bring these petitions to you right now from our hearts, from the body of Christ, from the church, that we just believe that you are the answer to each of our prayers, Lord. So we lift up our country right now, the United States of America, Lord, that you would bless it, that you would intervene in every situation and put your fingerprints on everything in this country, Lord, that we would have a come to Jesus revelation in the United States of America, Lord. We pray for our upcoming season of politics and elections and all the things that are going to go on that people can tend to cause more division. Lord, we just ask that you bring peace to that situation, that people will remember that you are the King and you are the Lord above all, and that we would not get so divided over the silly things, Lord. Lord, we pray for the state of Israel or the country of Israel right now, Lord, that you would protect them first and foremost, Lord, that you would be a hedge of protection around them, for they are your chosen race of people, Lord, that you would divinely intervene in the situation in the Middle East right now, Lord, and bring peace to that situation, Lord. We don't cheer for any loss of life, Lord. We cheer for a resolution in peace, in the protection and the establishment and the stability of Israel, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Pauline. Lord, you see your daughter right now having some pain, Lord. Had an accident, Lord. Lord, we just pray for her right now that you give her comfort above all. Peace of mind, peace of body, and healing in that bone or bones in that arm, Lord, and that you would give her mobility back, just Godspeed, Lord. Give her mobility back and that she can take care of things again. Lord, we pray for Brian. Lord, you know what he needs right now in his life. Lord, he needs more of you. Lord, he needs a revelation right now, and we just ask for it right now in the name of Jesus. In any way you see fit, Lord, just intervene, Lord. Lord, we pray for Joan. Lord, you know what's going on with Joan. You created her. You love her. You comfort her, Lord. So we just lift all these prayers and all these people and our pastors and our leadership up to you right now, Lord. And lastly, Lord, tonight we pray for the Pentecostal Church of God as a complete organization, Lord, that it would follow you, that it would make you the determining factor in all things, Lord, that you would be the center of all things, Lord, that you would rise up mighty men and mighty women who are going to serve you, Lord, with faithfulness and sincerity in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we just ask that you guide this organization to draw people in to the foot of the cross, Lord, that they would just be part and participate in the salvation of souls, that we would be participants in your redemptive actions, Lord, that we would be faithful above all, because you are faithful. And Lord, we ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank everybody for coming, and God bless.